What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 207th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. I'm your host, SBJ. And with me today, I have Travis.
I can't believe that when you were live tweeting the Nintendo Direct, you were just throwing so much shade at Fire Emblem and no one cared. Like, I can't say, like, a thing that's bad about a Nintendo product without just, like, the legions descending on me. And yet you're putting emoticons in to show how dissatisfied you are, and you're, like, all sarcastic, and no one cares. Well, how do you do it?
I had the advantage of people, like, so focused on the Nintendo Direct that they were like, oh, he hates Fire. I'm going to say something in a second, but the news is coming in too fast. I really enjoyed live tweeting the... Usually I do my personal account, but most of the time they show these Nintendo Directs. I'm at work, and my bosses follow me on my personal account, so I get to kill two birds with one stone. I get to entertain the world and still live tweet about Pokemon stuff. And with Travis today, I have the ever so cunning Will.
Why am I cunning?
I don't know.
What does that even mean? I'll tell you what, I'm the biggest fan of Metroid Federation Force you ever met. I'm so pumped. Metroid
cool.
Federation Point. I don't even know what a Metroid is.
I just wanted to say that because
I know it's inflammatory.
Jellyfish.
Right? I know that's going to make people mad that I said I love Federation Force.
I mean, it looks like it looks like a Metroid game.
There's a reason for that, Steve.
I was going to say, it kind of looks like Monster Hunter, where you're supposed to get with other people and, like, shoot things together. I don't know.
I think people are angry about it because there hasn't been a Metroid game in a long time. And then when one gets announced, it's like, looks more like a spinoff game.
Yeah, it's not Samus.
I don't know too much about it. It could be good. I haven't played many of the newer Metroids. Like, Super Metroid, obviously, is a fantastic game, but I know a lot of people like the Metroid Prime trilogy, but I haven't played any of those.
I feel like there was an interview with Reggie or someone who said that people are complaining about Metroid Federation right now, but no one has played it, and the same thing happened to Wind Waker when it came out. Like, there was this huge, like, we don't want this Zelda game, and now, like, Wind Waker is, like, the best Zelda game.
I thought there was, like, a petition to ask them to stop making Federation Force.
Yeah, there was. It was dumb.
Why are people so dumb?
It was real dumb.
Oh.
Do you want to talk about the Nintendo Direct real quick? Was there anything that stood out to any of you guys that you wanted to touch on?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, okay.
Wow, I watched the whole thing, and it was right at 5 o'clock, so it was, like, right when work was over. And I was just kind of sitting there with my arms crossed the whole time saying, when are you going to show me something I want to see? And then they showed me something I wanted to see for like 2 seconds. And then it was a bunch of stuff I didn't want to see. So
what would you want to see? Was it the Monster Hunter?
Monster Hunter.
Yeah. Yes. Super pumped for that. Cause everybody was thinking that they weren't going to bring crossover, cause they only bring every other Monster Hunter game. And then they're like, oh yeah, we're bringing Monster Hunter Cross. We're just changing the name to Generations. And there you go.
From my understanding, Monster Hunter 4U has done really good in the States. Obviously, Monster Hunter does amazingly well in Japan. I was excited to see the Solitaire horse racing jockey game is coming over.
Now, I saw your excitement on that, and I could not comprehend it, because that game looks like hot garbage.
It's like a 3 or 4 year old game, because when they announced that, I think after Black and White, because it's a game made by Game Freak.
Yeah, no, I remember because they like were like mysterious about, oh, we have a new game coming out and it's like horses and cards, and everybody was like, what?
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to be good. I'm just saying that if it's like a $10 or $15 downloadable game, I have all the interest to try it. I will say that Tembo the Elephant, that other Game Freak game that came out this past summer, was real bad. I didn't like it at all.
Well, you can breed horses in this game, so
That, yeah, you can breed horses, you can play solitaire.
Could you breed elephants in the elephant game?
No.
Well,
you
that, could eat, there's your problem.
If you collected, like, 100 peanuts, it would give you a jar of peanut butter, which I think was just a free life.
Huh. You never even got that far.
I thought it was weird that they didn't really touch on anything for Zelda besides Hyrule Warriors and whatever else they showed, but it was Zelda's 30th anniversary like a week ago, and they didn't even, they were like, oh, well, no big deal.
They did, they said that Twilight Princess HD was coming out, right? They reminded everybody they were getting that, but they didn't say anything about Zelda Wii U at all, 0%.
Right.
So that means it's probably not even coming out this year.
I'm sure the rumors are that it's going to pull the GameCube Wii situation where it's going to be on the Wii U, but then it's also going to be on the new NX at the same time.
Yeah, and they'll just release it for both versions.
Yep.
All right.
I mean, it gets people, like, a Zelda game sells new consoles. And especially if you don't have a Wii U, what are you going to buy? You're going to buy the newer one.
Yeah, are you going to get an NX when it comes out?
Yeah, because I don't like money in my bank account.
No, money's no good in the bank, as a wise man once told me multiple times over and over again.
Yeah, I'm excited for whatever they release. Speaking of being excited, let's jump into some Pokemon news. Actually, there's nothing really to be excited about. I got three tiny news articles.
Oh, I got a news article.
All right. Well, the first one I have is the 2016 International Challenge March Wi-Fi Tournament announced. Yes, this
you
is
bumped.
Recent news. This is all participants will receive 2,000 Pokemiles. Players can register. Oh, registration is... Oh, wait, no.
No.
No,
this
we're good.
Not over yet.
Yeah, registration starts March 17th through March 24th. I was thinking like March was already over. Tournament will be
now
run
I haven't
on
mini- finished my tax return, so it better not be over.
Tournament will run on March 25th. On 27th, 50,000 spots available. Players may only use the following legendary Pokemon: Mewtwo, Lugia, Ho-Oh, Kyogre, Groudon, Rayquaza, Diego, Palkia, Giratina, Reshiram, Zekrom, Kyurem, Xerneas, Yveltal, and Zygarde. Players may not use pretty much any Pokemon you get for free, any legendary you get, Mew, Celebi, Jirachi. Pretty much, if it's coming out this month if it's coming out this year for free as a download, can't use it. There was also the is it called the Kanto Classic? That's new.
Kanto Classic, yep. It's going on right now.
Oh, it's going on right now. Damn.
Yes.
I really did want to participate in that.
Well, you needed to register like last week and play in it now. So,
Yeah, that's a bummer. I actually thought these two were flipped. I thought the International Challenge was taking place at the beginning of March and the Kanto was at the end.
What's the rule set of the Kanto Classic?
You can only use the first 150 Pokemon, held items, single battles.
Mewtwo and Mew are banned. That's it.
I don't think Mewtwo is banned.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I did read about it. It says you can use the first 151 Pokemon except for Mew and Mewtwo. I would assume if Mewtwo wasn't banned, everyone would have Mewtwo.
So right. what was your team going to be?
What was my team going to be?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I was probably thinking like Electrode. For sure, because why not? Is Electrode the fastest Pokemon in Gen 1? I think
yes.
He is.
Why not? That Pokemon isn't even in Gen 1.
Whoa. Electrode, and then probably Primeape, because we talked about how Primeape was probably the best fighting Pokemon.
You gotta have Primeape in there.
Yeah, and then I was probably thinking Blastoise, because I can't think of a better water Pokemon.
Like Gyarados?
Yeah, he's all right. He gets by.
No, I was going to do like a Shell Smash Cloyster, or no, I'm sorry, a Skill Link Cloyster with some entry hazards that it could set up, Softboiled Clefable, Dragonite, Extreme Speed.
Oh, Dragonite is real good.
Yeah, but you got to watch out for those fairies.
I was going to say Ice Beams. I feel like Ice Beam was like every Pokemon in Gen 1 could learn Ice Beam.
Yeah, well...
How many of the original 151 were retconned into having a fairy type? Any?
Three.
Okay, which ones are those?
Mr. Mime, Clefable, and Jigglypuff.
Right. Well, five.
Wigglytuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think anyone's using Jigglypuff competitively.
Well, I mean, you got that sing.
With what, 35% accuracy?
I don't know.
It's more than 35, isn't it?
I thought it was really low. I thought sing was super low compared to other.
Well, it's been nerfed over time.
It's 55.
Oh, okay. Much higher than I thought. It's better than a coin flip.
Wow. I was also going to have Primeape and...
I was thinking Gengar. Like, I feel like Gengar has to be...
Nah. Without Mega Evolution, Gengar is just like... Bleh. Gengar's good for doubles, right? But not for singles so much.
I think he's okay. He's pretty fast. I don't know anything about competitive Pokemon battling, but
he's he may be fast, but he's just not powerful, right? So, and then I guess some kind of bird or
Pidgeot something. Would probably be
nah
bird of choice.
Fearow,
nah. Well,
either way, it's all hypothetical since neither one of us entered the Kanto Classic.
Perfect. Representing this community right. So, Pokemon the series XYZ Volume 1 now available in iTunes and on Amazon. The first volume of the 19th season of Pokemon anime is available. Each episode will cost $2.99 HD, $1.99 standard. The season pass for all HD episodes is $21.99.
That's XYZ?
XYZ.
I guess so you get them after they come out on TV?
Yes. Yeah, I think a day or two after.
How many episodes will that be for that 20-something dollars?
It's usually just like 11 or 12 episodes because Pokemon does this weird thing where they'll do a run of like 10 or 11 or 12 and they take like a 2 or 3 week break and then come back.
Yeah. Right. Although I tell you, these episodes have been really good.
This is, move? They moved to Netflix the X and Y anime, right? Just X and Y.
I don't know. That confuses me because some is on Hulu, some is on Netflix, some is on Sony Channel, some is on Amazon Prime.
You got the ultraviolet digital copy.
Final bit of news here is Pokemon Bank to distribute hidden ability legendary golems. That's right. Your Graveler can finally evolve. No, I'm just kidding. The official Pokemon website announced that the legendary golems Regirock, Regice, Registeel, and their hidden abilities will be available to all those who access Pokemon Bank between March 4th and October 31st. You have quite a while to activate your Pokemon Bank. To receive these Pokemon, players have to link Pokemon XY or Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire after accessing Bank. Each one of the golems' hidden ability will be provided to the Pokemon Bank account. Regirock will have Sturdy, Regice will have Ice Body, and Registeel will have Light Metal. I've never heard of that ability.
Light Metal halves the weight of a Pokemon.
Oh, okay. Is that beneficial competitively?
No. I mean, there's...
Grass Knot is a used.
Right, so. But I mean, what's his normal ability?
Who knows?
Let's see.
We're never allowed to use him, so...
Registeel, Clear Body. So, I mean, neither ability is fantastic, but I think you're more likely to get benefit out of Clear Body from something like Intimidate than you are to get benefit. Then is someone going to use Grass Knot on a Steel type? So,
no, that would be foolish, wouldn't it?
What was the Regice one?
Low Kick.
Ice Body.
Low Kick.
True, I guess it would help for Low Kick, but I still feel like Clear Body is going to help you more.
I think Regirock is the best one with Sturdy.
Yeah.
You
could put together a tight Hail team with Regice and Ice Body. Hail is awesome.
What does the Ice Body do? Gives you health back during Hail, right?
You got it. 1/16th of your max HP.
That's a lot, actually.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Regirock knows Explosion, Ice Punch, Stonehenge, and Hammer Arm. Regice knows Thunderbolt, Amnesia, Ice Beam, and Hail. Go figure. And Registeel knows Iron Head, Rock Slide, Gravity, and Iron Defense.
And you cannot soft reset for natures and IVs.
Right, because it goes right to your Pokemon Bank and gets it.
Oh, so you're just stuck with it?
Yep.
Dang.
It's pretty cool, though, to get... I didn't have these legendaries. And then, of course, before I forget... connect to the Nintendo Wi-Fi to get your Celebi this month.
Oh, I still haven't done that.
You know what's funny is I got a Mew from my friend Vinny. He sent me a Mew code because I wasn't able to go to a GameStop and find a Mew code. And right away I got my Celebi, and I actually played like seconds of Pokemon this past weekend, because mostly because I was organizing my bank. I already had a Mew and a Celebi. I have a level 100 Mew. I'm not sure where I got them from, because the Mew from last month is a level 5. And then I already had a Celebi, and I can't remember where I got that either.
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
I mean, you didn't give it to me. Like, all the Pokemon are...
I certainly did not.
So I was just like, oh, I already have these Pokemon, but now I have two of each, which is... It's whatever. I just have a box of legendary Pokemon, so... I don't know which ones I'm missing, but I didn't have the golems, so that was cool. All right,
we were talking about how it was Registeel that had gravity.
Yeah,
can we just? I mean, if you don't want to, we don't have to. But can we talk about just how weird of a move gravity is?
Yeah, what is it? Can you explain what it does for our listeners?
All right, sit back because it's gonna take a while.
Perfect.
First. Gravity causes Pokemon that would normally be immune to ground type to no longer be immune to ground type through either flying type or levitation.
Yeah, it negates flying and it negates levitate.
Then it also makes those Pokemon vulnerable to spikes and toxic spikes and arena trap too. And then it also makes steel type. Wait, is this true? Apparently, it also makes Steel-type Pokemon no longer immune to Toxic Spikes. Or nope, no. Never mind. Scratch that. Steel-types are still immune to Toxic Spikes. But then this is where it gets weird. So Gravity also cancels and prevents moves that cause the user to become airborne, which include Bounce, Fly, Splash, Jump Kick, High Jump Kick, and Magnet Rise. And then lastly, it also decreases the evasion of all Pokemon in battle by 2 stages.
Which nobody even realizes or understands what evasion is.
It's basically just the opposite of accuracy.
Accuracy?
Cool. So if you lower your opponent's evasion, your accuracy goes up. So you could theoretically put together a gravity team that's sort of based around entry hazards and moves that normally wouldn't be able to, high powered moves that have low accuracy.
Maybe I missed it, but does gravity apply to the Pokemon you're versing and then goes away when they switch out? Or does gravity apply to, like, the arena, like, Rain Dance?
It's the second thing. It applies to the field for 5 turns.
Dang, that's really cool.
Yeah, it is a wild move with just a bunch of strange effects.
Huh. So you could have moves that are, like, 95% accurate, like Rock Slide, and then with gravity on the field, those moves become 100% for both Pokemon, both you and your opponent.
Correct, but why stop there? Because the accuracy difference is actually a lot more dramatic than that. So it lowers the evasion to 3/5, and according to this article I'm reading, that means that, because I'm not going to do the math, that means that moves with at least 60% accuracy are 100% accurate. So Blizzard's always going to hit. Thunder is always going to hit. Zap Cannon is almost always going to hit.
So wait, how is evasion calculated? Dak Nabbit.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just normally an ability. It's not like a stat that the Pokemon has. So it's normally just at 100%, and then if you increase your evasion, then you're effectively decreasing the accuracy.
It's nothing you can train for or anything, so...
Right.
Ugh, that's annoying.
Isn't that... And the fact that gravity affects it is just wild to me, because that doesn't make sense. The other things make sense, like, and are sort of cool, like, if you use gravity when your opponent is flying, the move gets canceled and they're brought back down to the ground. That's just kind of cool. But then also, this weird thing about evasion being reduced is kind of wild. And also that glitch in Gen 5 with Sky Drop was ridiculous too, because it was supposed to do the same thing that like Fly does, where you use gravity and then it doesn't work. But with Sky Drop, it makes it so that the Pokemon... So you have a Pokemon that uses Sky Drop, then you have another Pokemon that uses gravity, and it brings down the Pokemon who is using Sky Drop, but then forgets to make it vulnerable again. So just like how Fly, you're invulnerable when you're in the air.
No. You got stuck. You never came down.
Right. That's right. You use Sky Drop on an enemy and they go flying up, and then you use gravity and then they never come down. You've got it right. Yeah. I was
sounds
wrong.
Sounds like the best possible Pokemon battle.
Well, that's why Sky Drop was banned from competition.
There is your competitive analysis of the week, people. I know you've been asking for it. Gravity.
You could theoretically make a pretty cool gravity team, probably based on doubles or triples, where you have one gravity user and then you just pummel with Blizzard and Thunder. It's like all of the accuracy benefits of rain and hail and that sort of thing, with the exception of Solar Beam. Or no, Solar Beam's just a turn.
Solar Beam's off.
Not accuracy.
Yeah, it's almost like you can benefit from all moves with like 60 or 70% accuracy, where if somebody's building a normal team, they're like, well, I'll probably take Ice Beam over Blizzard just for the consistency.
Right. Unfortunately, you can't have an item make it last more than 5 turns, though. Like, you can have Damp Rock or what have you. For...
old Damp Rock.
All right, we should stop talking about Pokemon. What are we doing?
Well, Xerneas can learn gravity, so in a Xerneas Groudon team, you may want to...
Oh, Xerneas isn't banned for Worlds? No, it's not.
It's not in 2016, no.
Yeah. Pokemon. All right. Should we move into Pokemon 20th? Because we didn't really do that last week with the news that broke.
Didn't we?
No. Let's not talk about Pokemon 20.
Well, we talked about Pokemon Sun and Moon, and then we talked about, you know, that was really it. We talked about the initial on that 6-minute Nintendo video, Nintendo Direct, and then that day was also Pokemon 20. So we didn't really touch on like what that actually means to us, as it being one year away from being legal age to drink in the United States. Not that. But I guess so. On the 20th anniversary, which was February 28th, 27th.
Correct. 27th.
We got an 8-hour Twitch stream from Nintendo, of just people, YouTubers playing Pokemon games. They went through Pokemon TCG Online, and they went through Pokemon Rumble Blast World, whichever one. They played, I think, some Original Red, Colosseum, Pokken. They went through a lot of games. And then after that, the more exciting thing, I think, is they showed 24 hours of the Pokemon anime that became this like live tweeting, live event thing that lasted a weird time. It started at like 6 p.m. Central Time and went to the next day. So some of the good movies weren't shown until like 3 or 4 a.m. Central Time. That I missed out
when the real party starts.
Yeah, I missed the Darkrai movie because it was shown at like 4 a.m.
That movie's sweet.
But what was funny is like I knew it was starting, and I saw some people in the Slack community going, oh, like I'm watching, you know, Mewtwo Pokemon, the first movie. And I was Mewtwo Strikes Back. And he never struck to begin with, but I was like, I've seen this movie. I don't want to see this movie. It's not a good movie. And then...
we've gone over this. It is a good movie when it's the extended version that doesn't... it's not dumbed down by the theatrical cut. We don't want the version of the movie where we have Harrison Ford's narration where he's like, I don't know why he spared my life that day. Only real... Die hard movie buffs get that reference. Number 4 will shock you.
Movies. What I've learned from Travis is they're all about the cold open.
Did I teach you that term or something?
Yeah. We talked about it like 10 podcasts ago when you said cold open. I was like, the heck is a cold open?
That should be the cold open of this. You should be like, what the heck is a cold open? I guess that's not even our theme song anymore, but...
And then so I think the live tweeting, at least on my part, really started with the second movie, Pokemon the Movie 2000, elegantly named. And I was like, oh man, that movie's also bad, but the Slow King is really good. Like, the Slow King has a lot of good one-liners. And then I kind of checked out for a while, and then I came back and people were watching the Celebi movie, and somebody tweeted the Twitch link, and I clicked on it without thinking. And then all of a sudden, like 3 hours later, I've been watching Pokemon movies.
Because they were really good. They got me sucked in.
Yeah, it got me sucked in, and it's just like the live tweeting, and then I came in at the end of the Celebi movie, and I was like, man, this movie is... So, like, the Celebi movie is one of the worst.
It is not.
And it is easily one of the worst, and I just couldn't stop watching it.
It is so good. Because all the Celebis from throughout time, and you're like, is this just one Celebi, like, from different points in time coming back and multiplying itself, or is it multiple Celebis coming in together, and then the little dried out onion?
I think what sours me on that movie is the cold open. I think when they're, like, capturing Celebi, and, like, the bad guys are just really aggressive, and it's just the animation's not strong. Like, it's a big turnoff.
No, there are only two turnoffs in that movie. One, this fictitious Pokeball that turns Pokemon evil for when it's used. And number two, right, the fact that all Celebi ever says is, you are a time-traveling Pokemon. You can say more than bee.
Maybe it's like an I Am Groot situation where in saying bee, it's actually saying a multitude of things, but our human ears are not.
Can't handle it.
Yeah, well, we can't.
Our
we
human
can't
ears
hear the...
are the ones that were listening to that horrible movie. I mean, a great movie. It's a great movie.
So a lot of people don't...
Red-handed.
So you have a couple worlds in the Pokemon. You have the Pokemon games, where all the snobs will let you know that red is red and not Ash. And then you have the Pokemon anime with Ash and everything, and then you have the Pokemon movies. And a lot of people don't think the Pokemon movies are related to the TV shows, but they definitely are. And I don't
incorrect.
Know.
Incorrect. No way.
There are. They the movies matter in the anime storyline, and there's a huge Bulbapedia article about it that Snorlax Monster was more than happy to tweet to me. But I don't know. I guess for the longest time, I also was like, well, the Pokemon movies don't matter, but they do. And I think the biggest thing that matters, especially in the Celebi movie, is the little kid throughout the movie is actually Professor Oak at the end.
Spoilers.
Oh, my fault for spoiling like a 20-year-old movie.
Yeah, but it's a movie about time travel, so it's not really 20 years old. It's timeless, Steve.
So yeah, so obviously that matters in the anime, because Professor Oak has seen some stuff. Let me tell you. The next movie that came on that I watched from start to finish, Pokemon, what is it called? Lucario and the...
Oh, that Lucario and the... This is weird. That's what I say the subtitle is.
Come on, Will, help me out. What's it called?
The Mystery of...
Mew. Lucario and the Mystery of Mew, I believe.
Yeah, you're right. You're correct.
Man, does that movie open real bad. Really bad. I feel like Lucario was designed for a certain set of people. Especially after seeing him move and talk. I already dislike Lucario a lot. And after watching that movie, I disliked him more.
Made for furries? Yeah, maybe?
Yeah, but also so... Certainly furry pandering. However, also so wildly accessible that like 50% of the people that play Pokemon will say that Lucario is their favorite Pokemon.
Right, yeah.
50? Not as high as 50.
So there's this thing called hyperbole.
27%.
I like to use it all of the time. No,
27%.
Look, people love dogs, and Lucario is obviously a dog.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he got the, like, almost close to the mainstream popularity of Charizard just shocks me. I mean, it's cool if you like Lucario.
I mean, you can say that. I don't think it is. Bring it on. Bring it on. Slide into my mentions.
It's just such a weird Pokemon. And I will say Lucario the Mystery of Mew, a pretty bad movie. The last 20 minutes is actually kind of good. Especially once, okay, so once the Reggies show up and they make the weirdest freaking beeps. Oh my gosh. It is so cool. The sounds they make.
Yeah, it's like, pretty rad.
Reggie Steele and Reggie Ice, they're cool too. Oh my god, they're cool. Like the beeps they make are just fantastic. It sounds
isn't
like
it something weird where they make do they beep like 7 times because they have like 7 dots on them or something?
Yeah, and they're like they're all so different too. Like their beeps, like when you hear it for the first time, you're like, "What the heck?" And then like when you hear it later, you know that like, "Oh, this is Reggie Steele's," or like they're very distinctive. And they should be in the game. I don't know what kind of like cries they have, but they need to take the beeps from Lucario and the Mystery of Mew. They need to move them to the game because there are some sweet beeps. And they're kind of terrifying, but very awesome. Anyways, at the end of the movie, Lucario like dies. Spoiler.
And then also Ash is like reincarnated Lucario or something. I can't remember.
Ash dies a lot in the movies.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a movie unless Ash died.
And, well, he doesn't die. It's there's some like old person who looks exactly like Lucario dies, but he's actually Ash or something, or he's like Ash's ancestor.
Yeah.
I feel like I talk about this movie every week because I can never remember if it's a dream or not. Well, no, I feel like if I don't talk about it, I can't tell if it's real.
As I said to Steve previously, this says more about you than it says about the movie.
Do you guys have anything you want to touch on for the... I'm just going to cut you off. I also went to Toys R Us. I got my poster. I bought a Mudkip plush. I bought the 20th anniversary Pikachu plush. It was fine. There was a line. Everyone got posters. Everyone got cards. It was Toys R Us. What do you expect? Overpriced toys everywhere.
Yeah, I only got the cards. I didn't buy anything. And then I gave the cards away to a little kid.
That's nice of you.
Was the kid excited?
Well, he is like sick. So I bought him a Get Well card. And then I put the cards in it as like a little present so he'd feel better. I didn't see him. I just gave it to his dad.
That's really nice.
That is very nice.
Oh, wait, I'm ruining my reputation. I'm supposed to be evil and heartless. And here I am giving away Peanuts Get Well cards with Pokemon cards inside of them to small children.
No, you don't get it. This is where the fans who already love you just become completely enamored because you got that Snape appeal. It's like, is he going to be good? Is he going to be bad? We don't know. Is he going to help a kid?
Or is he going to tell
Steve that like he dreams about Lucario or something?
Oh, no, I do not. But I spent my Pokemon day with Joe and Jin, and we had played some Pokemon VGC and some Pokemon TCG and some Vanguard, of course. So that was nice, right? Because Pokemon brings people together. And I spent my day with other Pokemon fans.
Connecting, I believe, was one of the words they used.
Yeah.
Travis, how was your Pokemon 20?
I didn't do anything cool like you did. I don't even know there were like promotions that were happening.
All right. Oh, the other thing I did is I went to my old Pokemon League. I went with Vinny and Kid, and which was the following Sunday. Pokemon League's every Sunday morning. And I played some Pokemon TCG. And I enjoyed it, and I was like, yep, this is still a very expensive, time-consuming game that I don't really have any more interest in, but I remembered pretty much most of the rules of the TCG. I played 2 rounds with some decks, and yeah, it was fun. Got a free, because we attended, we got 3 free booster packs of, like, Emerging Powers or something really, like a really bad set.
I was going to say, Emerging Powers is way old.
It is, yeah, it was way old. It was, like, the set where the best card was, like, Terrakion, and I opened it up, and I got, like, a Beartick and a Levani, and I was like, yep, these are garbage cards.
Emerging Powers had the Mewtwo EX.
I don't think so. I think Mewtwo EX came the set after, and then they tinned them, because I don't think Emerging Powers had... Remember, Emerging Powers had Kabalion. I know that. It might have had Terrakion.
I can look this up. Oh, Next Destinies was Mewtwo EX.
Yeah, it had Catcher. That was the best card, I think, was Catcher in Emerging Powers. Anyways, are you still looking that up, Will?
No, I looked up Next Destinies.
All right. Yeah, it had Catcher and Terrakion, I think.
I mean, I'm not going to look up what cards were in Emerging Powers. That thing was garbage.
That's right. Okay, so what do you want? Do you guys want to take a break, or do you want to just get some thoughts on Sun and Moon real quick?
Marathon it. Let's do it.
All right. I don't need a break.
Will, let's start with you because you weren't here last week.
Well, I'm very excited. I mean, I'm a little disappointed because I think that it's looking like I'm not right and it's not going to be a Germany-based region. I'm not going to cave and say it's going to be a Spain-based region, but I'm just saying it's probably not Germany. Although a lot of people are saying Brazil for some reason. I think that's more like wishful thinking than based on any sense of reality. Huh?
I see Hawaii a lot.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was going to be Hawaii, all they'd show is golf courses. So that's that. But I do have some commentary on what you and Allegra were saying, where you guys were like, oh, they're only letting you move the Gen 1 Pokemon into Sun and Moon because it's a money grab. And
oh,
you
know, sure. Just say Steve and Allegra. It's not like I was on that episode or anything.
But,
sure.
But Travis.
Great. Awesome. Great.
Sir, Travis, sir, you were not making that argument.
Oh, okay.
You did not say that they were only doing it as a money grab.
I asked if they thought it was a money grab. My argument, let me lay this out there, is the reason they're doing only Sun and Moon is because there is going to be a building that will handle everything, and you have to go to that building.
Well, let me give you a dose of reality.
You're going to red pill, Steve.
Yeah, I guess so. I think Nintendo is very reticent to send out updates and upgrades to patch fixes to any of their games unless there's a seriously egregious
unless it's Splatoon
that needs
like
to get
that
fixed.
One time if no. You saved in the major city of a game
yes exactly like broke. If you save in Lumiose and it completely freezes your game and destroys it, they will send a patch for that, but otherwise they don't do patches after a game is released. So they're not going to patch Pokemon Bank to make it so that the Gen 1 Pokemon get the additional stats they need. They're not going to patch Auras. Well, they're not going to patch X and Y. Those games are already out.
Well, no, if they are using Pokemon Bank to transfer it, so
they are using Pokemon Bank as a storage mechanism. But if you remember, there's something to move the Pokemon from Black and White called Pokemon Transporter. They will come out with a Pokemon Transporter to move your Pokemon up from the Gen 1 games. And then they will program in functionality into Sun and Moon that will actually do the transformation of the stats and everything so that they don't have to touch any of the other games. Period.
Yeah. Done. I'm fine with that. I was never against that. I was just reaching for opinions and thoughts. I'm still under the impression that there will be like a Pokemon lab or a Pokemon facility of sort that you will go to accept those Pokemon from Pokemon Bank, and it will determine gender, IVs, EVs, ability. It will fill in the blanks that are missing from Gen 1 to Gen 7.
Yeah, it'll probably be similar to what they did in Black and White and Black and White 2, where you have to go through the core story of the game before you get access to that area that will probably open up access to Pokemon Bank and any other service that allows for importing of external Pokemon to bring back that wonder of completing the regional Pokedex that was kind of lost in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. Not that I didn't have fun playing the entire game with a Volcarona, but still.
Is there's no way to take Pokemon from Yellow, Red, and Blue into Bank right now, correct?
Correct.
So maybe that stuff is done in a different app and not in...
Yeah, like a Pokemon Transporter.
Right, yeah, I'm just... Technically, so there has to be something assigned to the Pokemon to restrict it from going into X and Y and Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, because if the Transporter app handles all that, why does Pokemon Bank care if you can't just drag and drop into X and Y?
Oh, no. Here, let's Occam's Razor this. The Transporter app will access the data files for the Gen 1 games to get the Pokemon information out and put it into Pokemon Bank. Pokemon Bank is a storage application. That's all it is. It does nothing besides store your Pokemon on a server in a logical way. the actual conversion will occur in Sun and Moon.
So it, so you're saying that the Pokemon transporter will send it to Bank, but those Pokemon will be useless until they touch Sun and Moon and then go back to Bank?
Correct.
Okay. Because I was just thinking, what if transporter just went to directly to Sun and Moon and then back to Bank, but they already said that it would go to Bank first?
Yeah.
Wait, so, something has to handle the stats.
Programming
in Pokemon Sun and Moon will handle the stats. There'll be something programmed into that because that is the least amount of custom programming that will have to be done.
I'm just saying, if the transporter is taking my Pikachu from Pokemon Yellow and putting it into Bank first, that Pikachu probably has to be grayed out or have an X over it or something, because what's stopping me from dragging the Pikachu from the Bank box into my Pokemon Omega Ruby box?
The same thing that is keeping my Pikachu with the performance costumes in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire mm-hmm. from moving up into Pokemon Bank. He ain't gray. He ain't got no red bot
It say anything? Like, what does it do?
You have a Pokemon that can't move into Bank.
Oh, that's all it says?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was unfamiliar. I never did
guess
that.
Which one.
I'm assuming the Pikachu with the costume.
Can we... And remember that long time ago when we took the diversion to talk about gravity and how cool that was? Remember those days?
Yeah.
I do.
Do you want to take another weird diversion into Pokemon for a while?
Sure.
So we've been talking about how there's a conversion that needs to happen between Gen 1 Pokemon to Gen 7. And gender and abilities are the most obvious of those. You also mentioned that EVs and IVs did come later, and they did. They came in Gen 3. Do you know how unwieldy? I think every time I try to use that word, I ask the person I'm about to talk to which one it is. I never remember.
Unwieldy. You don't wield a sword, you wield it.
True. Do you realize how unwieldy the original stat EXP system was? I never paid attention to it because I was a child when those games came out. But instead of the system we have now where each Pokemon is assigned a number of EVs to give out when it's defeated, in Gens 1 and 2, the base stats of the Pokemon you defeat are converted into essentially EVs. They're converted into stat EXP. So the example that Bulbapedia gives is Mew. So Mew has 100 base stats all the way down the line and all the stats, 100 HP, 100 attack, 100 special attack, etc. So all of those 100s are converted into stat EXP and then given to the Pokemon that gets experience from it. And then at level 100, the way to calculate how that stat EXP converts into actual stats of a Pokemon is you take the square root of the stat EXP and then divide the result by 4. What's ridiculous about this is that because there's no Pokemon that has 0 attack, for example, you can't really even EV train without getting useless dump stats. Put it like, if you wanted just a purely special attacking Pokemon, you're going to end up with some attack stat EXP because there's no Pokemon that exists with 0 attack.
So I don't remember this, and I haven't gotten far enough through Pokemon Red yet to find out for myself, but is there any character NPC in the game that tells you that what the stats are for your Pokemon, or do you just kind of have to like calculate it from looking at the numbers that show up on the screen?
In Gens 1 and 2?
I don't think so at all.
I don't think so. As I'm reading more, I think there might not actually be... In the same way that... So in third generation onward, you would have a total of 516? Is that the total? Whatever 252 times 2 plus 4 is. That's the total EVs you can have, and then as you keep defeating Pokemon, you no longer get effort values.
It looks like there is not that cap in Gens 1 and 2, so it wouldn't really matter that you're investing stat EXP into a dump stat after all. But I'll keep reading and see if I find anything that.
So critical hit is based off of just your speed. So yeah. Like Pidgeot is more likely to get critical hits than any other Pokemon in the game, or whatever's faster than it.
Is Golbat faster?
Well, Electrode is the fastest.
Electrode is fast. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So something you said just gave me a horrible realization. I was kind of holding out that Sun and Moon were still going to be interoperative with XY and Aorus, but now I've had the realization that the Pokemon are going to get converted into Sun and Moon Pokemon, which will have whatever changes to how they're going to calculate IVs, EVs, stats, et cetera, and they will not be transportable into X and Y or Aorus.
Yeah. Right. They'll restrict from going back because it's a new generation.
Wow. And once you move your XY Aorus Pokemon in there, you'll never get them back.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what we're saying. It's a cash grab. They need you to get that Pokemon Sun and Moon money.
No. But I was just hoping that it wasn't going to be a full Gen 7 that way. And also, another thing that I forgot about was a lot of people are like, how come they don't do the third game anymore in the series? How come they don't do, how come there's not going to be a Pokemon Z? And you know, the realization I've had is I know so many people who will just very adamantly and clearly say, I played Pokemon X, I played Pokemon Omega Ruby. Why would I buy another game that's pretty much just the same story and the same land trout out over again? I'll just wait until they come out with the next version.
I think that's the problem with Black and White for me. Black and White 2, I mean.
Well, so, you know, if people are going to say that, and even more people are actively not going to spend money, why make the game?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think,
you know, they don't owe anybody except their shareholders and whom they have to make money for. And if it's been proven that the third game in the series does not make as much money as the original games in the series, they're going to stop making third games in the series.
I think it's that argument is the same problem that people have when they're trying to look at patterns in Pokemon's history. I mean, you look at Black, where an X and Y came out, people were like, well, that's dumb. What happened to all the colors? People were like, red, blue, black and white. And it was like, well, Diamond and Pearl aren't colors.
Sure they are.
They're gems. And Emerald, Rubies, like, those are gems too. And so, like, people are holding on to, like, patterns that don't really, like, that have been broken from time to time.
Even Gen 1 essentially had a third and a fourth version if you lived in Japan, because what we had was essentially already their third version in Red and Blue. Their blue version was the third version, and then Yellow came out on top of that. And Will, I hadn't really thought of it. I was still, until the Sun and Moon announcement, still probably expecting some sort of third version to be tacked onto X and Y. And the example of Black 2 and White 2, I think, is really important here, because that's a game where they kind of did make a whole new game. It just used the same assets, so it wasn't as costly for them to make. But the story was continued. The route at which you go through the game is vastly changed. There's a lot of changes. I wonder if that was done as a way to say, all right, let's see if this third version thing still has legs if we sort of throw all we have at it and make it as close to a new game as we can without actually devoting all of that development time to making a new system. And I don't know, maybe it didn't sell as well as they would have wanted it to, but maybe that was their,
I mean, I
their
think
test to see if that idea still had legs.
I think Black and White 2 are the third version. They just split it in half to,
right. That's what I'm
yeah.
saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that was their sort of last ditch effort to see if this marketing strategy of having a third version still works, because as a third version goes, Black 2 and White 2 had the most changes out of any previous third version.
I wonder if there are two teams working at Game Freak because if you look at X and Y on Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, they're obviously on the same engine, and you know, Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire Remix, of course. But the dramatic difference in menu system and features and stuff being added and stuff being taken away just makes it seem like, how as a team have you progressed in X and Y and then go to, you know, your next version of the game and regress? And I get that it's a remake, but not only did you take away a bunch of stuff from X and Y, you added a bunch of new stuff like DexNav, which is really good. And like, why isn't that in X and Y? Like, did that, was that really like a, oh, it took us like a whole nother year to figure out. And so with Sun and Moon, I hope that we push forward again, because if you look at like Crystal, that's when we got a female character, and then they took that away and then gave it back to us later. I think
they didn't take it away. I think you could still play as a, no, you could definitely play as a girl in Gold and Silver.
No, Gold and Silver, was there was no girl.
Or sorry, not Gold and Silver. Sorry, in Ruby and Sapphire.
Did they take away girls in Emerald? I feel like they took it away at one point.
Fire Red and Leaf Green.
Fire Red and Leaf Green. They took it away. That's what I'm thinking. Which again makes no sense because it's literally just a sprite. Like nothing else has to be changed. It's just a sprite that moves in the center of the screen. Anyways, I'm losing my train of thought. So,
it does sort of act as evidence to your argument that there might be two pretty separate teams at Game Freak that aren't necessarily in full communication with each other on determining which elements are going to be in which titles.
It's just like we're now getting Sun and Moon 2 years later, and then Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. What's crazy is when you watch the Pokemon 20th anniversary, they consider the last game X and Y. And they only focus on Red and Blue, Gold and Silver, Ruby and Sapphire, Diamond and Pearl, Black and White, X and Y. And so when you look at that, you're only looking at really six main games. They're ignoring HeartGold, SoulSilver. They're ignoring Black and White 2. Like, they're ignoring all those games. And when you look at now seven main games with Sun and Moon, that's only seven games out of 20 years,
mm-hmm.
which is actually, I've been Pokemon fatigued. I think Black and White was like the height of my Pokemon fatigue, where Black and White 2, where I was like, I just don't want to do this again. I don't want to, this world, I'm done with it. But if you just skip and you go from X and Y, or if you go from Black and White to X and Y, that was 3 years. And from Red and Blue to Gold and Silver, that was 3 years, and I think there was 4 years between some of them. But we haven't really had a new Pokemon area franchise in almost 3 years now, and so that's a big time. And it's almost like every time Pokemon does an announcement, we're just like, oh, of course that's it. And a lot of people were like, well, we're getting Pokemon Z, we're getting something else, and it's like, well, it's been so long since a new series. Of course we're getting Gen 7. It's been almost 3 years. And we didn't get a Pokemon game at all last year. So it's exciting to get a new region, new Pokemon, obviously, new Megas. And yeah.
Mega is the new meta.
I don't see why we would ever go back to Z or a third version of a game. Like, this makes the most sense when you lay it all out.
I think so.
I think we all agree.
Yeah. But yeah, I think my wish list is really simple. I want my customizable trainer back.
Yeah, that was a shame that it wasn't in Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. I don't care about being accurate to the original, if that's really the concern, if it means taking away a really important feature.
I want my customizable trainer back so that when I merge with my Pokemon, it will take on features of my customization. Dude,
stop.
You say that now, you grow now, but when it is happening, you are going to be so happy.
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
We've already talked about furries too much in this show.
Steve, I have watched the intro to Pokemon X, Y, and Z enough times repeatedly to get a pretty strong feeling that Ash is merging with Greninja.
I don't think that's happening, and we can talk about that after the break. But let's take a break, and we'll touch on that before we get to what else we have for the show. So we'll be right back. Break Lucario's for everyone.
Oh, so no.
I don't know how much I am able to talk about this, but I have been playing Pokken.
Are you in the tournament. Witness protection program or something?
I've been playing Pokken tournament all weekend. I got an early copy from Nintendo, so thank you to Nintendo. If you're listening to this, I am sorry that I don't know what I can or cannot say. The non-disclosure agreement says I'm not allowed to talk about the final boss at all. Doesn't matter. I'm not even close to getting to the final boss. And I'm allowed to stream 30 minutes of content on Twitch. And so I hope to do that soon. But this brings up the Pokemon transforming Greninja thing in Ash, which kind of exists in Pokken Tournament a little bit. In like the just like the intro scene and stuff where you see like the trainer kind of overlays on Lucario for a second when he's versing Shadow Mewtwo in the opening sequence. But why I believe that Pokemon are not going the Digimon Series 4 route of people turning into Digimon is that I think that sticks to the platform it's on. So, for example, the anime is going to stay the anime. That's going to stay Ash and his weird journey of Greninja melding powers. And I think if you look at Pokken Tournament, I am under the impression now that Shadow Mewtwo is just for Pokken Tournament, just like Dark Lugia was for Pokemon Colosseum.
Pokemon XD, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gale of Darkness. Sorry.
Get it right or pay the price.
And I think that's okay. I think that we've seen it in the past where weird things happen in Pokemon, but it stays in that small universe that it existed in. So that's my argument for why hopefully in Gen 7 we're not getting trainers turning into Pokemon. But yeah.
I highly doubt they would have made the whole rigmarole of unveiling the Ash's Greninja thing if it were just going to be an anime only.
And they're putting it in everything. It's in Picross even.
I mean, the anime does very well on its own.
Sure, but the entire point of the synergy between the anime and the game series is that if you're a fan of one, you start participating with the other, that if you play the games you start watching the show and then they get ad revenue, or if you watch the show then you get the game. And I think that if they had planned at some point of having just Ash's Greninja just be in the anime, some marketing person was like would be furious that it wouldn't be in the game, and they would, and I don't even mean to say that this is proof that sort of trainer melding is definitely going to happen in the next games. It's certainly plausible, as we talked about before, but at least Ash's Greninja, I think, or a Greninja like that is going to appear in the main series, because there's no way they would invest all that like time making a different form of a Pokemon and not have it be in the game. Someone who's in charge of some executive would be furious that isn't cross-promoted.
I think it's easy to take a single Pokemon and assign it so closely to Ash and make it sell just based on that. You look at, obviously, Pikachu. You look at Charizard. You look at like drawing a blank, but if you
Mijimuro,
if you stick if you stick a Greninja on a shelf at Toys R Us, it probably wouldn't sell as good as if you stick a Greninja that says Ash's Greninja on a shelf at Toys R Us.
Right, but don't you think if they're going to do that, they would also do some sort of Wi-Fi distribution where you get Ash's Greninja and it has like a different ability than normal or something? That it seems like at least they would do that.
Yeah, yeah. Because
the example of like Shadow Mewtwo and Shadow Lugia in the two previously mentioned games is that those are not that different from, they're just spooky versions of their originals, whereas Ash's Greninja is so hyper specific that it seems strange that it would only be for that one thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Ash's Greninja was a Pokemon in Sun and Moon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I wouldn't imagine that down the line I could transform my playable character into like a Golduck and hope that like this is the Pokemon I get to transform into. I just look at like cosplay Pikachu, and that is something that is stuck in X and Y.
Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. There's no cosplay in X and Y.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It tells how much I played Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. So cosplay Pikachu is just stuck in that generation. It ain't leaving, and it nothing else is coming in. So I would hope and that Greninja is specific. Ash's Greninja is specific for this situation of...
Yeah.
Will we stick Ash's name on this Greninja? We give Greninja a Pallet Town hat and we call it a day.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, like I said last week, I certainly hope they don't include that mechanic. I think it's weird. But I didn't realize that you were just saying that you don't think it would be a full mechanic and not that you didn't think that Ash's Greninja would appear in the games at all.
Well, you also, guys will be allowed... real sad when you're wrong, so there you go.
Am I allowed to ask you if Pokken Tournament is good? Are you allowed to say that, or is that a non-disclosure agreement thing?
Probably can't say that because that would be like a review, and I'm not allowed to publish any review content until March 16th. But I can definitely answer questions about it.
Is it a video game?
Yes, the Wii U specifically.
Is it fun?
That sounds like a review. Fun, not fun. Is it a video game that you can play with other people?
It is, yes. So I've played about 3 hours so far. I think I can. Well, let me see what I can talk about. And if I don't get a review copy in the future of a game, we know why.
Well, I have another question for you.
Okay.
Is it a video game that you can play while I'm playing Final Fantasy XIV doing ridiculous fetch quests?
Yes. You can play. You can play the entire game strictly on the gamepad. The gamepad, like many Wii U games, doesn't do anything particular.
Special. It doesn't do anything special.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything at all. It just reproduces the TV screen.
Now, tell me if this is breaking your non-disclosure agreement. Does Gengar have spooky moves?
Gengar does have spooky moves. If you watch the Twitch stream of the 20th anniversary, Gengar was played a lot by Jay Witz and some other people. I've noticed now that they weren't performing a lot of the moves that Gengar could do.
Interesting.
And let me preface that it's very easy to do moves. I would say that Pokken Tournament is closer to Smash Brothers in moveset.
Interesting.
But obviously it's a fighting game like Soul Calibur or Tekken.
So what you're saying is I might actually be able to play this game and not be embarrassed that I can't remember any button combination.
If you go on YouTube right now, there are other people with review copies that you're allowed to stream 30 minutes of gameplay. So there are movesets out there. There are other things out there. A combo that Weavile has, and I think Weavile is my favorite so far. And I know I'm a big Chandelure lover, and I'll touch on that in a second. But Weavile, literally one of Weavile's combos, if you go into the move list, is smash Y as fast as you can. And it does do some cool stuff. It does a lot of like slashes and night slashes and scratches in a row. Like it does look like you're actually doing something impressive. But that actually, that doesn't translate to other Pokemon. Like, if I smash Y on Blaziken, it doesn't do, it does a Y move, but it doesn't combo anything. Yeah. So, like, the most extensive combos I've seen are, like, down Y, Y.
Huh.
So that's what I mean when it's like Smash Brothers in types of moves. Like, there's not a lot you have to learn.
That makes me excited.
There is a paper, scissors, rock. I said that wrong, in the wrong order purposely.
I think that's how they say it in Europe or something weird. maybe in Britain they say it that way.
But there's grabs, and grabs will break blocking. And then there's counters, and counters will break grabs, I think.
Wow, that's just like the WWE Superstars game.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So if like somebody's blocking, obviously you want to grab. If somebody's hitting you over and over with like a Y combo, you want to counter and break out of it. So yeah, there's stuff like that. I feel like you get your super. I forget what it's called. I've just been calling it super, but you get your like mega evolution, or like Weavile doesn't have a mega. He just gets like ice all over him. You get that pretty fast, and some Pokemon get it faster than other. Like Pikachu Libre can pretty much get it every time in a round. Chandelure is considered a heavy, so he's actually one of the slower Pokemon. He's like as slow as like Charizard and Garchomp, and he's almost like he is in the game. He's like a glass cannon. Like his moves can hit very hard, but he doesn't have that much health compared to like Garchomp and Charizard. So it's hard to play him. And Weavile is also more fragile like Chandelure, but Weavile's like his benefit is speed, so he's just super fast. And that's why I like him. But at this point, I've played all the Pokemon, and they're all pretty different. I would say like Suicune and Chandelure have a lot of similar moves. They have a lot of beams they can shoot and a lot of like range attacks that are almost identical. But that's just getting like specific though. Any other questions?
Yeah. Does Nintendo realize that you have other people that you record with who could also benefit from playing this game with you?
Look, I don't even have a Wii U. I'm not complaining.
I do. I got all the systems.
I will let them know in the future when I ask for another review copy of something.
Yes. Call up. Hey, Nintendo. Will Anderson. He exists. Hmm.
Yeah, the cool thing, though, that I thought was, so when you create a character, it is basic. You can pick skin color, you can pick boy or girl, and you can pick, like, a little, like, catchphrase that, think of Pokemon Battle Revolution, where you can, like, pick a little catchphrase when you go into battle. I think most Pokemon games have this, so it's like, I'm ready to battle, or pleased to meet you, or whatever you wanted to say.
I'll take them all on.
Yeah, there's like 30 or something you can choose from. And I was like, well, this is disappointing. But as you play, you unlock like different hair and different hair color and like different glasses and different outfits. And every time you battle, you earn money. And so you can randomly unlock like a hairstyle, or you can just go in and if you have enough money, like I can finally buy black hair, which fits my hair instead of like the blonde default that it starts with. So as you go, you can customize your character more. And then as you're playing, you also get like titles. So when you first start, I think your title is Newbie Pokken Trainer. And then I got something like, if you beat 5 people in a row, you get Unbeatable. So now I could have Unbeatable under my name, except I will never have that because it just looks like I'm like a stuck up pretentious player. So why would I ever have Unbeatable tag? But yeah, you unlock more stuff, and I haven't done online yet or anything, but I did play locally with my friend Miguel, who was over, and I will say, if you like to mash buttons really fast, you have a good chance of winning, which Miguel loved to do. He loved to smash the controller as fast as he can, and I couldn't get a move in.
I've been there before.
Maybe me just poor playing or like trying to properly combo, but he got a couple one up on me. I will say that I didn't feel a frame rate shift from 60 to 30 playing. I was stuck on the Wii U gamepad. He was on the TV using a Wii U Pro controller. It felt just as smooth as me playing solo.
So you just said something that made me kind of sad, because they actually took out the whole where you would have a little phrase that you would pass to your opponent when you were doing a battle.
They haven't had...
No.
Oh, not, you not mean in the game? Black and
white. Not. I mean in real Pokemon. not all this imaginary Pokemon garbage. Real Pokemon.
Yeah, we talked about the obviously 30 frame rate compared to 60 is a huge difference in like an Evo situation. But as for locally playing on my couch, like I didn't feel crippled in any way. I didn't feel like frames were missing, and I know frames are missing. Like, let me preference is, I'm never going to go to an Evo type situation.
Never say never.
Not with that attitude.
I'm the type of person who plays a fighting game, really no interest in memorizing moves or looking at the move list, but as I play, I try to reproduce moves I've done to see if I can do it again, and then I do what I've done by just, you know, trying different combos. Obviously, up X, down X, left X, up Y, down Y. Like, you can kind of learn most combos on your own, because going back to, it's almost like a Smash Brothers type of thing. Yeah, I was extremely impressed on how the local 2-1 versus 1 worked. And I guess I'll leave it at that. I would be curious what, like, a Street Fighter level player would think of it in terms of, like, counting frames and stuff like that. Not that that matters for me. I would just be curious just to know. But yeah, I played on my couch with my friend for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and it was really fun. It was way more fun than just versing a computer over and over, because that is pretty boring.
Are you waiting for one of us to have something? Because we haven't played this game. I don't
exactly.
Know
that's all I got.
I will be getting this game.
I will be bringing this game to Midwest Gaming Classic. I will say that. I was asked specifically if my room will have Pokken Tournament, and I can confirm it will. Probably have to somehow get another Wii U and another copy of Pokken, but whatever.
Just get one and then give it to me when you're done.
All right, I will mail it your way. Speaking of things coming up, we will be at C2. I will be at C2E2 on March 20th. I believe my panel is at 11 a.m. Sunday, March 20th, C2E2. I think a Sunday pass might be $35 for the day. A weekend pass, maybe 50 or 60. I'm not entirely sure. But if you are in the Chicago area, March 20th, 11 a.m., I will be there. And then following 3 weeks later, on April 8th, 9th, and 10th is the Midwest Gaming Classic. We will be there as well with a room, with Pokken tournaments, probably Pokemon Snap, Pokemon Stadium 2, all the classics. Just those three classics.
Not Puzzle League?
I think I only have enough TVs for 2 64s, and I think Snap and Stadium 2 does better than Puzzle League.
Not Pokemon Pinball?
Pokemon Pinball will be there.
Okay.
That machine still works, even though it was dropped off like a 3-foot table.
That's solid craftsmanship is what that is.
That's some Aaron Spriggs quality right there.
How did it fall?
It was on a... So, for our listeners that don't know, I built a custom Pokemon pinball cabinet. It's pretty much a GameCube that runs Pokemon pinball with, like, paddles and buttons and stuff. And this huge wooden cabinet. And in order to play properly, it needs to be at the right height. So I got a table, and then I put those like little bed risers under the legs of the table so it would bring it to the right height so you could hit the paddles. Because if it's too high or too low, it's just very awkward to play. So the table, so the machine is pretty deep, and the table is one of those like longer banquet tables. So I had to, the whole cabinet didn't fit on the table. It like leaned off the table just by like 2 inches, and so I brought the cabinet more forward, so the front of the cabinet was just off the table like 2 inches, because the weight is in the back of the cabinet. And this was at the Battle City, the Pokemon Art Show, and so, you know, I'm just talking with people, you know, people coming in and out selling shirts or whatever, and these little kids who are much small, like the cabinet height is adult height, right? These like little like 6 or 7 year olds can barely reach the cabinet, and they shouldn't because they're not that tall. It's not meant for them. And like they're like trying to pull themselves up onto the cabinet. And remember, the cabinet's just off the front of the table, like 2 inches. So they have
Danger zone.
So they have something to grab on.
That's some Kenny Loggins stuff.
And they can't get it. And so they kind of jump up. I actually think one of them was lifting the other one up.
Their parents were where?
I have no clue where their parents were. I'm pretty sure because I remember the dad running over after it fell. So ultimately what happens is the cabinet rocks back and forth because it's on these mattress risers. And, you know, this has been up for like 2 days and there hasn't been an issue. And it gets rocked back and it falls backwards and slams on the ground. And the back panel flies off because the back panel's magnetic and the GameCube rolls out. And for the most part, it's some quality Aaron Spriggs craftsmanship. Like, it didn't break. So, you know,
True ISE fans will get that joke.
I run over, you know, I ask the kids if they're, like, I see it happening in the background. Like, they're probably 20 feet, like, this is a big hall. Like, where Travis was at, Battle City, like, it was a big venue.
Yeah.
And I run over and like I help the kids up. They're fine. It fell backwards. If it fell forward, they would have been probably squished and killed. It fell backwards. I picked them up. They were okay. And then like several seconds later, the dad comes over. Like he's on the other side of the hall. And I was like, is everything fine? I was like, yep, everything's fine. Kids are okay. He was like, oh, I'm so sorry about that. I was like, it's fine. It's built like a tank. No, it's no big deal. And it was cool. And then, like, he got up and he left and he was like, maybe you shouldn't have it set up like that. And I was like, okay, good to know.
Maybe you should keep an eye on your little Brejacks.
Yeah, that's what
a Pokemon term.
I probably would have said, maybe you should keep an eye on your kids. But, like, it was done. It was fine. Like, whatever. There's no point in getting in an argument when everyone's having a good time. Like, yeah, there's a huge dent in the back of the cabinet now, but it's just wood. Like, I could go and refill it in with wood, and like one of the magnets broke on the inside. I haven't gone out to get a new magnet. Like, the back's still closed. It's not that big of a deal. It was just funny that like the dad was so concerned about first his kids, which he should be, then the cabinet, which was like, okay, like my kids probably just broke a The cabinet cost me $300 to build, by the way. A $300 cabinet. And then going to, well, just to let you know, this was your fault. Okay, Dad. Cool.
That sounds like a parent to me, which is why no one should be a parent.
It's like the range of emotions
you're this Severus Snape character, you know. What? One minute you're helping sick children, and the next you're like, no, the kids are awful.
Well, you know what?
Children.
If people would stop having children, there wouldn't be any sick children. Think about that for a minute, because that's so logical, your brain can't grasp it.
That's how logic works.
There will be no hurt children, no children with broken heads, if there are no children at all.
I don't know how we went from Pokken to never mind. So I'm gonna try to actually. I don't have a situation to stream Pokken tournament. I will probably come up with a situation to stream Pokken for the 30 minutes I'm allowed. I will probably let the Slack community decide which date they want that.
You should make it a 30-minute interlude during Dungeons and Dragonites.
Maybe, I don't know.
We should settle instead of actually having a battle in Dungeons and Dragonites and resolving the battle the normal way. You should just play Pokken tournament to see if we win or lose.
Perfect. So two things: the Slack community, if you want to join it, it is patreon.com/itsupereffective. $1 a month will get you into the Slack community. And like I said, I'll probably have the Slack community decide which night I stream Pokken, if I can do so. But a really cool community, really active. And what's the popular channel right now, Will?
TCGs, of course, because we talk about Vanguard all the time.
All right, the TCG channel is apparently popular. I'm on there, Travis is on there, Will's on there. Obviously, if you have any questions for me or something, you can totally reach me on Slack. It's not that big of a deal. That's why Slack exists. So if you want to support the show, Patreon. And then the other wheel here is if hopefully you guys enjoyed the Dungeon Dragon episode that I uploaded to the It's Super Effective feed. That episode was actually edited, even though I said it wasn't. I cut out a lot of silences and some rumbles and stuff, and just because I wanted to make sure that if you guys were on the fence, you at least had something enjoyable to listen to. By the time this podcast is up, hopefully, well, this podcast will be up by midnight tonight. We're recording this on March 6th. If you're interested, we are going to stream again on March 7th at 7 p.m. Central Time on Twitch, Dungeons & Dragons Episode 2. Dungeons and Dragon. I got the. You know what's funny is we came up with the name Dungeons and Dragon Knights, and we were all sold on Dungeons and Dragon Knights, but I didn't actually Google if somebody else was using Dungeons and Dragon Knights.
Oh really?
I made one of the biggest mistakes of naming something was not Googling it, and I did Google it, and there was a couple forums of people with like, hey, I made this Dungeons & Dragons game with Pokemon. I called it Dungeons & Dragon Knights. And it was all from like 2010, 2009. And
back in the heyday of Dungeons & Dragons, yeah.
And nothing else really since has come up. So obviously no one can, I don't believe no one could trademark or copyright Dungeons & Dragon Knights, because I would assume that Dungeons & Dragon Knights as a company, Dungeons & Dragons would get mad, and I would assume that Pokemon would get mad. So it's just a name. It's no big deal. Whatever. It is what it is. But
Tomorrow, Dungeons & Dragonites Episode 2. This time, we'll actually play the game.
No.
So March 7th, 7 p.m. on Twitch. We will be uploading all of them to YouTube as well. The first one's on YouTube. We will be switching to a Tuesday-only schedule on March 15th, March 22nd, March 29th. You know how Tuesdays work. So March 15th will be the first Tuesday. Then it will stay on Tuesdays for the remainder of eternity. I actually don't know how many episodes will be. But if you like that, there is now a separate feed in iTunes. Just search in iTunes PKMN Cast, and you'll see both It's Super Effective, and you'll see the Dungeons & Dragon Knights feed. If you liked it so far, if you enjoy it, please leave a review just so that can bump us up in iTunes. What was really, really cool, and I can't thank you guys enough, the listeners, is not only was It's Super Effective in the top, like, 25 in iTunes yesterday when I checked, but Dungeons & Dragon Knights was in the top 200. I think it was 154 when I checked. So, two podcasts in the top 200, Games and Hobbies in iTunes. So, Games and Hobbies is everything listed in Games and Hobbies. That's car talk, that's knitting, that's Dungeons and Dragons, that's board games, that's video games, that's everything in Games and Hobbies. Normally, I just look at just video games, because Games and Hobbies is broken into video games, hobbies, other games, and some other thing. But normally, we're like top 20 video games. We were 25 out of everything. And so was Dungeons and Dragonites. So clearly, you guys have found the feed and have been listening to it, but leaving a review, very helpful. This sounds like the end of the show, but it's not. We're going to just do two or three emails just because we're running long. We'll just do two or three short emails, and then we'll do Pokemon of the Week, and then we'll wrap up. So insert email music here. And if you care to email your questions, sbj@pkmncast.com or pokemonpodcast.com/contact, you know the routine. First message here is from Rodney L. Whatever happened to the name Purple Version? Also, Will isn't 50? ?
What?
Well, you just had a birthday.
That was my news item that you totally didn't let me give.
Well, here, I saved it for the emails.
International Pokemon enthusiast Will Anderson recently turned 43. 43, not 50. 43. Oh.
Well, you have the same birthday as my dad. He actually turned 50.
Well, maybe that's why Rodney's confused. Except my name is not Steve.
Nope. Whatever happened to the name Purple Version? Purple Version was before, really, I settled on a name. So if you guys remember the original artwork, it was like the red and blue artwork, except it had Gengar on instead of Charizard or Blastoise. and it had a purple background because Gengar's purple. So instead of saying red version or blue version, it said purple version. But when I was naming the show, and Pokemon Podcast actually kind of still suffers from this problem, we own PokemonPodcast.com, obviously, because if you Google Pokemon Podcast, we're going to be the first thing that shows up. So I was thinking quickly back then. And so when I submitted the show to iTunes, it was called Pokemon Podcast. And then I had purple version because the art said purple version. And I said, well, the show isn't called purple version. That's weird. And I don't know if I want the show to be called Pokemon Podcast. We just are a Pokemon podcast. So that lasted for about 3 weeks until I came up with It's Super Effective, which I did Google. And no one had It's Super Effective. Somebody had Super Effective, but that was a comic. And so that's why we went with It's Super Effective as the show name. So that was why purple version doesn't exist. It was just the, that is why you've seen it before, is because it was just red version, blue version, purple version.
And now you know.
Now you know.
The rest of the story. VH1's Behind the Podcast.
And obviously red and blue combined to make purple.
Yeah, that is how colors work.
Yes.
Derek B, I was listening to your latest podcast and you spoke of D&D Pokemon. Where will you be streaming it? Twitch? Question mark. If so, what is the Twitch ID so I can follow ahead of time? We just talked about this. So the Twitch ID is twitch.tv/pkmncast. And we will be under the game Dungeons and Dragons, because I guess that makes the most sense. Yeah. So tomorrow night, if you're listening to this, or Monday, March 7th, or Tuesdays from the future. Trinity, yeah. B writes in, hey guys, your February 22nd episode was one of my favorites so far. So I'm a big fan of Mystery Dungeon series, and I recently finished Super Mystery Dungeon. I remember playing the first one a lot when I was younger, and I really enjoyed the fact that to recruit Pokemon that you had to actually go into a dungeon and climb to that floor the one is located on, find the Pokemon, fight it, and maybe get a successful recruit. I don't remember Gates to Infinity, but one thing that bummed me out was that the series in general is the way they introduced the new way of recruiting. I'm just not a fan of help this Pokemon and you'll become friends way of getting allies. Travis or anyone else wants to answer, which recruiting method do you prefer? Thanks, Trinity.
As much as Explorers of Time and Darkness are by leaps and bounds my favorite entries in the Mystery Dungeon series, I prefer the newer method of recruitment simply because I don't like that it's purely random chance whether you recruit or not. It's frustrating to me. And I mean, that's personal preference, but I would rather a guaranteed way to do it based on doing something than just hoping and just grinding the same Pokemon over and over again until you recruit it.
Yeah, and right, it makes sense because you catch more flies with honey than you do with a fly swatter, right? Why would you recruit somebody by beating it up in a battle versus doing something nice for it? Then it says, I want to be your friend because you do nice things versus I want to be your friend because you just kicked my butt.
Exactly.
Fair, logical conclusion.
Although I do think that Explorers of Time and Darkness are way better games overall.
Interesting.
Have you ever made any further progress in Super Mystery Dungeon?
No, so I guess it's unfair for me to say that, but I can't. It's just...
I can't.
It's such a slow start, and it's basically a tutorial, that slow start, and it goes on for so long. It's tedious.
Fair. Grant M. writes in, this will be our last question for the day, just because short on time here. This is not related to any question, but I would like to quickly talk about my pettiest of peeves about the X and Y anime. I guess this is for Will then. In the Who's That Pokemon segment, the featured Pokemon is often something that was on screen less than 3 seconds ago beforehand. I understand the show is for kids, but do they really think kids would find it challenging to remember something 3 seconds ago? Grant.
Wait, this is not a critique of the X and Y series. This is a critique of the entire Pokemon cartoon for all time. That's the way they've always done it.
I would say the first anime series did a very good job.
It's always the main featured Pokemon in that episode.
Absolutely.
It's like
It's like, here's an episode about a Ponyta. I wonder what the who's that Pokemon's gonna be. Oh, it's Ponyta. I wouldn't have guessed.
The only reason you think that the first season or series was better is because you didn't already know all the Pokemon, and we just
know
them.
You were tiny and you didn't know all the Pokemon, and you were actually surprised when it was Ponyta, even though Ponyta was the main focus of the episode. Always been like that.
I would say that, especially in Black and White, because I watched a lot of Black and White episodes.
Not as much as me.
Is that they would show the Pokemon of the week right before they cut the commercial. Like, they would hone in on it. And so when Irene and I were watching it together, it was always a race of who could say that Pokemon's name first. But I will say, sometimes they show the Pokemon, but they don't actually say the Pokemon's name out loud. So that could be at least challenging for kids to see if they know what that Pokemon is without Ash or company saying, oh, look, there's a Blitzel.
Well, I'll tell you the real thing. The real thing that you need to know and you should be aware of and slightly concerned about, the whole Who's That Pokemon segment is a form of messaging. No, it's just subliminal messaging. There are secret messages that they are putting into your brain. And the way that they do it, where it's a lead up, a break, and then a release by saying who's that Pokemon and then revealing who the Pokemon is, actually opens up neural pathways in your brain from like the lead up. Then they insert the message, and then at the release they kind of ingrain the message. So you're just quietly, very slowly and silently being brainwashed every time you watch a Who's That Pokemon.
I mean, even when you see it, when you like see a silhouette of like a Pinsir, and you go, well, duh, it's Pinsir. Like, you still want the satisfaction of it coming back and going, it's Pinsir. And you'd be like, yeah, of course it's Pinsir. Got it right.
I might be wrong on this. My memory might be failing me. But isn't it the case that in the Japanese airings of the show, they have different little mini games than Who's That Pokemon? And it's just in... Well, it might be in more than one localization, but it's just in either the English or other localizations of the show that it's always Who's That Pokemon. I thought I remembered somewhere that they play like little different games in the Japanese version of it.
I think you're making things up.
I'm going to look it up while you do whatever you're doing.
I'm doing Pokemon of the Week.
Yeah, right. Sure, you can take it from me. That's fine.
So if you... We have a back catalog of emails. Not that many emails. We're getting through them. But anyways, if you have an email, if you want to ask us what our favorite Who's That Pokemon is, what our favorite candy is, Swedish fish are pretty good. If you want to ask us anything, email sbj@pkmncast.com or pokemonpodcast.com. Hit that contact button. We might not get to your email next week, but we'll eventually get to it. And I like doing the email stuff. It's fun.
In the X and Y series of the original Japanese version, the segment is modified. Now called Pokemon Quiz, the segment presents the viewer with four flashcards being different silhouettes and asks them to correctly identify each Pokemon. Usually, one card is Team Rocket as a decoy choice.
What?
I told you I was right.
Whatever.
I just want to say that I complained weeks after weeks about Red, Blue, and Yellow not having Pokemon Bank support. And now they do. This brings us into our Pokemon of the Week. this week's Pokemon, if you're doing the Kanto Classic, might have mattered if we did this a week early.
No, don't kid yourself.
Hey, no, it has effects for. Effects for is competitive.
This week's Pokemon is Parasect, the mushroom Pokemon, and it evolves from Paris at level 24.
The other mushroom Pokemon.
The other mushroom.
I usually, when making these move sets, look on Smogon to make sure that I'm not just giving accidentally the same Smogon list, and usually what I'll do is make something that's probably similar to the recommended one but a little different, a little more fun. So when I looked, the first sentence on Smogon's description of Parasect is, Parasect is a bad Pokemon.
Ugh. The mystery of Parasect is why I always think it's four times weak to ice, but it's not.
Bug grass.
Bug grass.
Well, I keep thinking that bug is weak to ice for some reason.
You would think that that would make sense, but clearly not. It's four times weak to fire, is it not?
Yeah. Correct.
Which is why we don't need more types. Which is why we don't need more types. You don't even know the ones that have been in the game since Gen 1. All right. So Spore is... So just the moveset first. Spore is sort of a necessity because if you're going to be running Parasect, you might as well use its best move. So let's build our Parasect around its best move, which is Spore, which is a 100% accurate move that puts the opponent to sleep.
Do we start with an ability here? Affect Spore, Dry Skin, or Damp?
I like Spore, man. Oh, I like Dry Skin.
Nah,
and I think Dry Spore. Well, I don't like Affect Spore because I was going to recommend Toxic as the second move. And if you're doing Affect Spore, you're not going to guarantee which bad status effect you're going to apply to the opponent. I mean, you can listen to Will, but if you do listen to Will, I'm going to recommend Toxic. You would probably use another move. Since we're doing Spore, we probably want a defensive variant of Parasect. So we're going to do 252 EVs in HP and defense or special defense. It's really your preference whether you want it to be specially or physically defensive, given that both of those stats are both at 80. It doesn't really matter what you go for.
You're still going to get rocked by any fire move.
Yeah, it's just a matter of which type of fire move you want to die to. So in addition to Spore, you want some way to whittle them down, or you want to be able to apply some effects while they're... Nope, that doesn't work. Shoot, you can't toxic something that's asleep, which is why you don't run an effect Spore. I need to completely change the set. I can't believe I'm that silly. You can't make something toxic when it's asleep. So you don't run effect Spore because then you wouldn't be able to put them asleep with Spore. So you do Spore, and then you do Seed Bomb just because it's a good stab move that does a lot of damage. And then you're going to want to do Knock Off because that's just a very good utility move. And then...
Except in the Kanto Classic, not that big of a deal since no one's holding items.
True, you wouldn't do that for the Kanto Classic.
But that's over now, so Knock Off it is.
Right, and Knock Off is actually very, very good now since it was buffed in. Was it Gen 6 or Gen 5 that it was a buff that it was buffed? I think it's Gen 6.
I think so too.
And then we can do Leech Seed as the last one to sort of apply a damage over a time effect instead of our Toxic that we were planning on before. I like having Leech Seed on there because if you put something to sleep and the opponent tries to work around that by switching out, you can still apply an effect and still get benefit off of stalling time with Synthesis. Dry Skin is good because it gives you another immunity. Not that you would be weak to water, but it'll give you some health if you switch in. Or maybe you're just immune. I can't remember exactly the details of Dry Skin. And you're already four times weak to fire, so making that fire weakness a little worse isn't really going to affect you too much.
You get HP back by getting hit with a water move.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And then the nature is going to be, gosh, Impish, I think, is one that increases your defense and decreases your special attack. And I don't remember what the one is that increases your special defense and decreases your special attack, but one of those two natures is what you'd want to go with, and then Leftovers is a very good item choice.
Impish is increases defense, lowers special attack. And you want to increase defense
Or increase special defense and decrease special attack, depending on which type of defensive
careful,
Parasect.
Parasect is a bad Pokemon.
Parasect's Pokedex entry for Pokemon Stadium connects Pokemon with the real world, noting that sometimes its spores are used as medicine in China. There you go.
That's China? That's funny.
Does it specifically say China?
Yeah, in the original Pokemon Stadium, yeah. Paras and Parasect are the only Pokemon in the game to take more than four times as much damage from any type of attack under normal battle conditions. A Parasect
dry skin.
Or Paris with the ability Dry Skin takes 5 times the damage from fire attacks.
Isn't there some page on Bulb, or maybe, I don't know if it's a full page, but there's some at least page segment on Bulbapedia that's trying to figure out what the maximum amount of damage possible is, and it's like, a Pokemon with 999 attack using Sacred Flame on a Parasect with one defense.
Oh man, that would be
if
really
it's
great.
A critical hit.
That's 30% more.
Under sunny day conditions.
Paris and Parasect share the species names with Shroomish, Breloom, Fungus, and Amoongus.
They're all the dog Pokemon.
They're all the Lucario Pokemon. They're all the mushroom Pokemon. No other Pokemon has the same egg group combination as Parasect and its pre-evolution. What does that mean, Will?
Well, egg groups determine what it will breed with. You can breed within an egg group without having to go through a Ditto.
So Parasect can only breed with Parasects and Dittos?
No, Parasect.
No. It belongs to two egg groups, so it can breed with anything from those two egg groups, but it is the only one that has those two as possible sets.
Got it.
So it's in the bug and grass egg groups. So
I see.
Basically, there is no other Pokemon that is in the grass egg group that is also in the bug egg group and vice versa.
Got it. Awesome. In Generation 1, poison attacks are super effective against bug-type Pokemon, making Paris and Parasect the only Pokemon to ever have 3-4 times weaknesses. That has obviously been fixed, but if you're playing through Red and Blue right now, or Yellow, on your 3DS for $9.99...
Parasect probably isn't the way to go.
Parasect, probably not your choice Pokemon.
As Smogon says, Parasect is a bad Pokemon.
Right. There you go. And we leave you on that note. There's some Patreon spieling I could do, some iTunes spieling. Dungeons and Dragons.
Did.
Yeah, that's all there. Travis is at TheTravisW. Will is at Washing the Sink. I am at Dragging a Lake. Thank you. This has been almost a 2-hour episode. Thank you guys for hanging out with us and listening. Much appreciated. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
Super D Peppers.
That is it. All right. D Pepper.